Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant.
Can we pray this afternoon, our Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, we come this afternoon again to dig deep into your word, to both reemphasize and rehash again that which you have communicated by your Spirit through your servant. We ask, Lord Jesus, that today again, let blessings flow from the Father of all blessings, the one from whom all blessings flow. Let blessings flow again and reach out to every one of us in the name of Jesus. Let your mercy allocation for today, let us touch it. Let us hold it. Let us hone it in the name of Jesus. You said in your word, our Lord Jesus, said, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, that which you have allocated as a meal for today's epistle life, let every one of us get it in the name of Jesus. Bless us. Let your Spirit minister with us. I hide myself this afternoon again under the grace upon your servant, Daddy, under whom we serve, believing strongly that the Spirit is here with us, that Spirit would bring blessing and would touch down on every one of us in a different location, wherever we are, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Grant us understanding. Grant everyone entrance. He said, the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding. Let light cause our feet to rise and walk out of darkness, wherever it is that darkness is still holding sway over our lives, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give praise to your name, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, still continuing again on the book of 1 Timothy. Like Daddy said last week, that don't be weary that we are not rushing it as you would have us rush it. You know, it's scripture. And it's Bible says all scripture are given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So all scripture is inspired of God. So a yes in the Bible carries a breath of inspiration. So it's not the same as reading an English text. The Bible is not a storybook. The Bible is a life book. So if we spend 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 1 month, 6 months, as it were, on the book of 1 Timothy, I'm very sure we've not even exhausted the blessing that is locked up in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Each chapter of the Bible, you can spend a whole year trying to dig into what is there. And when you go back again, you'll still see a lot of things that are still hidden, as it were, in it, you know. So I want us to just let our heart be open. Let's not be in a hurry to want to get out of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and to move to another chapter. The Lord bless us as we get our hearts ready and prepare to keep following the Lord as the Lord is leading us through his servant in the name of Jesus. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1. We've moved a bit into some of the verses, but I'll just read the whole chapter again, just to remind us to get ourselves acquainted with it again. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat which God had created for to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. But every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. refuse, for it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So that he began staying on from verse 6 last week, which I would still read through, then I'll come back there. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou art already attained, or thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things teach, or these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Paul writing to Timothy, a young man who is a minister. But be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Verse 16, the last verse. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. It's good to read the scripture. So continuing from where that is stopped last week, from verse 6. Give me verse 5, 6, and 7, if you can put them together, if it's possible. Verse 5, 6, 7. Thank you. It says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Everything that the Lord is given with thanksgiving. That it was, saying some things along that line yesterday. But let's just move on quickly because of our time. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou also hast attained. Or another word for attained is you have carefully followed, or you have been able to obtain. It said concerning Timothy, that was 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think verse 10, that was fully known my doctrine. Another word is that was fully followed my doctrine, manner of life, meaning you've attained unto my own doctrine, my manner of life. Same thing was said concerning Joshua and Caleb that followed Moses. They said they are wholly, wholly, they've wholly followed. Joshua and Caleb was also able to wholly follow Moses, the servant of God. It said, Numbers 32 verse 12, it says, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Now, in wholly following the Lord, meaning they've wholly followed Moses. Now, who were they following when they were following Moses? Of course, we could directly say that Joshua followed, as it were, Moses. Of course, U.S. scripture says that Joshua was Moses' minister or Moses' servant. You know, Moses is the servant of the Lord. Joshua is servant. So Joshua served Moses. That was very obvious in scripture that Joshua served Moses directly. But it was very difficult to see where we could pinpoint that Caleb, as it were, served Moses. But what was Moses himself serving? Which was part of the emphasis that God's servant stayed on a bit last week, which I still trust God to emphasize a little bit on. You know, what it really means to follow. When you say you are following a man, You know, am I just copying the way he walks? Am I copying the way he smiles? Am I copying the way he sits? Am I copying the way he claps? Am I copying the way he sings? Am I just in a copying exercise? You know, what exactly am I following when scripture says, thou hast fully known my doctrine? You know, or when Paul told Timothy that if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you will be a good minister. Of course, another word for the word good minister is a good servant. Another word for the word good minister is a good servant. He said, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast carefully followed. Thou hast attained, is the same word as thou hast carefully followed or wholly followed. So the same thing we said concerning Joshua and Caleb in Numbers. He said they have wholly followed the Lord. So like I was saying, that it's very clear and very obvious from scripture how we saw that Joshua waited on Moses. Joshua was Moses' minister. Exodus 24:13 said, and Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount of God. So Joshua, it's very clear from how he followed Moses and he served Moses, the servant of God, that he was Moses' minister. But it was not very clearly written about Caleb. In fact, the only story we knew of Caleb came up when they sent the 12 spies to go spy up the land of the Canaanite. You know, and when they came back, he himself and Joshua came back with a different report. Of course, the other 10 spies that were sent had a different report, but Caleb and Joshua, he said, but my servant Caleb. So meaning Caleb was also Moses' minister in a sense, because he was the Lord's minister. What was he following really? What Joshua and Caleb were following, they were following the laws that were in Moses. There was something that the Lord worked in Moses. So when Paul was saying to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, he said, thou art fully known my doctrine. Put in another way, that thou art carefully followed, that attained unto my doctrine, my manner of life. So it's easy for Timothy, just a cue from what that he said last week, just flowing with the Spirit this afternoon. What that he said last week, he said concerning Timothy, I think that's Philippians chapter 2, I guess, when he was talking about Timothy, he said, for I have no one which is such like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Give me from verse 18. For the same cause also do we rejoice with, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So meaning Timothy has a test parameter, which was the same thing that was in God's servant Apostle Paul, that when Timothy is sent, Paul can be assured of the state of the church. Why? Because Timothy will bear exactly the same thing Paul would do. Now, verse 20. He said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Why would he naturally care for the state of the church? Why? Because Timothy, as a servant, following after God's servant, Apostle Paul, he had come into the same like-mindedness that Paul had. Now give me, is it Ephesians now, Colossians, when Paul was saying to, he said, I beseech thee, Eudias and Syntyche, that ye be of one mind, Philippians, thank you, verse 1, give me from verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudias and I beseech Syntyche that they be
of the same mind, where? In the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Next verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, Paul had to be beseeching a group of people. He besought them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, when we hear the word the same mind in the Lord, it's not because I like rice, you like rice. I don't like taking sugar, you don't like taking sugar. Hey, wow, we have the same mind. Now, we can agree on those things, but we might not be of the same mind. What is the mind? What is the mind that Paul was saying to them here, that they be of the same mind? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last verse. 1 Corinthians 2, the last verse. Give me verse 15. He said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. So meaning what Paul was referring to when he's saying, be of the same mind in the Lord, mind the same thing, like-mindedness, naturally care for your state. I have none who is like-minded. What Paul was making reference to was actually the mind of Christ. Now, he said there in verse 21 of Philippians chapter 2 that we're reading earlier, he said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So what are the things of Jesus Christ? They are the things of the mind of Christ, or they are the things that Christ mind. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. Colossians 3 from verse 1. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek ye those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of the majesty, or the right hand of God, sorry. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Continue, for ye are dead, and your life is eat with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye have prayer with him in glory. Continue. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the face of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which are idolatry. For these things' sake, cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye have put off all these. What have we put off? We put off anger, we put off wrath, we put off malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. Lie not one to another, saying that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, who is this image of him that created him? Continue. Where there is neither... Now, in this image of him that created him, there is neither Greek, there is no Jew, there is no circumcision, there is no uncircumcision, there is no barbarian, there is no Scythian, there is no bond, there is no free, but Christ. So what are we being renewed in? We are being renewed in Christ. He said, but Christ is all and in all. So Christ wants to be all in all. So the mind that Christ, that Paul, as God's servant, was able to come into, Paul came into a mind called Christ. Paul possessed Christ. Give me Romans chapter 1, just a few thoughts around that line, then we'll continue. Romans chapter 1, just to show what Paul was making reference to when he said to his son Timothy that put the saint in remembrance of these things. Of course, Timothy was not putting the saint in remembrance of things around whether they should eat chicken on Christmas Day or they should kill a goat. You know, whether they should, like Daddy said yesterday, some will say they don't like snail, you know, some say they like it. You know, those are not the things that Timothy was putting the saint in remembrance of. He was putting the saint in remembrance of the things of Christ. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, what are these things? Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith. So these are the things that Timothy as a minister would use to nourish up or put in remembrance of the saints. I like that word remembrance. Let me just say some things along that line, then we'll continue. The Hebrew meaning or the Greek meaning of the word remembrance is to supply. To supply. So when you say you are remembering somebody something, you are supplying from your own resource. The word is supply from one's own resource. So meaning there are resources that are already, as it were, established in Timothy. There were things that were established in Timothy. And how those things were established in Timothy is how we're trying to, you know, just piece around again what Daddy said last week, just to say one or two things around the line. How those things can be in a man. Give me Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 19. Give me from verse 19. Go up a little. Go to verse 16. Let's see from verse 16. He said this, I said, 16, from whom, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, verse 17. And this I said, therefore, I testify in the Lord that you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So you see, when you see somebody is a Gentile, what makes him a Gentile is also that he's like-minded. He has a like mind with other Gentiles. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said it very clearly. He said, after these things, do the Gentiles seek. So meaning a believer, one can be born again and still be a Gentile. Because the word Gentile is a mind. To be a Gentile, you are minding something. There's something you are paying attention to. God's servant, Adadi Rebecca Adeyoke, said one of the days while he was ministering, he said it in passing. He said that what a person minds, what has taken over your mind, has taken over your person. You know, you hear the word Paul said in Romans chapter 8. He said, for to be carnally minded, meaning at that point, your mind, the force, the strength, all the energies of your mind is concentrated on carnality. Meaning all the strength that the mind can amass is using all its energy to focus on carnality. He said that is death. Somebody can be carnal, but is not carnally minded. There are two different things. You can be carnal, but not carnally minded. Now, to be carnally minded, that one is death. And that was what happened to the first world in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, that Bible said that their thoughts, their imagining, their mind, what they use their mind to imagine, the imagination of their mind was only evil continually. Now, you see, when the Lord is putting a lot of emphasis, a lot of attention on what our mind is engaging on, is to a purpose, so that you will not, because mind frames you. We've heard the word before, mindset. So mind is sets you. When your mind is set in a particular way, you are set to behave in that manner. They say, this is the guy's mindset. So because of his mind, he's set in a way. His mind set him as a Gentile. Give me that Genesis chapter 6, quickly. Genesis chapter 6, except for all the thoughts and the imagination of the heart were only evil continually. He said, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, so meaning there was no space again for God in their mind. Their thoughts can no longer accommodate God. Every imaginations, images of nations in their mind, all that they can imagine, the seat they imagine, they imagine vain thing in Psalms, this is Psalms 2. He said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth gather themselves together. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord. So meaning, the counsel of the ungodly is against the Lord. The counsel, the thoughts of the ungodly. Psalm 1, blesses the man that walketh not, in the counsel, in the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly flows from his mindset, how his mind is framed, how his mind is wired, because his mind is carnal, is carnally minded. It's not just a carnal, because of course we know from scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, Paul was saying to the church in Corinth, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, not carnally minded, as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, because of course a newborn believer begins his journey as a babe or as a carnal soul. Everybody, you are 70, you give your life to Christ, you begin as a babe. You are 15, you got born again, you begin as a babe. So we can be carnal, but not carnally minded. But if we exercise ourselves, which I'm still going to touch on, that he talked about it last week. If we exercise ourselves more onto carnality, we can hit the mark of being carnally minded. And to be carnally minded, scripture says, is death. So go back to that Genesis quickly, Genesis chapter 6. It says, so the imaginations and the thoughts of their hearts. The thoughts of their heart. So meaning the thing has taken over the banisters of their mind. Their mind has been hijacked. Their mind has been seized. So when they think, you use your mind to think, you use your mind to process thoughts. When they think, what they think is only evil continually. Meaning there is no space for God. There is no space. They might not be thinking evil because they want to be killing people. No, evil is beyond what an action where the natural action that men think has been evil. Somebody stealing money. Yes, it's evil, but that might not be the real evil. The real evil is that you don't want to allow God. In Thessalonians, he spoke concerning the Antichrist. He said, he opposeth. He stands against any stance of righteousness. He said, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God. What is all that is called God? They are the things of God. All that is called God is not, I am God. No, they are his things. He said, no one knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man, 1 Corinthians, but the spirit of the man that is in the man. He said, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So the things of God are God's. So when you say, God, what are your things? His things are him. So when God can successfully push his things into you, you are become God's. He said, I have said, you are God's. How are you God? Unto whom? The word of the Lord. So there is something in God that would come to you. He said, if you call them gods, unto whom the word of God came. He called them gods. How did they become gods? They became God by the words of God. The words of God are the things of God. For where the word of a king is, there is power. So the word of a king is him. Is him. So this set of people in Genesis chapter 6, they only think evil continually. And because they think evil continually, the ways of God was already corrupted upon the face of the earth. The ways of God were corrupted. Isaiah chapter 55, he said, let the unrighteous, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous his thoughts. So meaning thoughts are responsible for ways. Your thoughts, your thought pattern. You see a man is spiritual, is that his thoughts has been taken over. God has been able to win in the area of his thoughts. God has gained victory over his thoughts. God has, because you see, righteousness is not, yes, is what we do, quote and unquote. But where righteousness gains victory first is that righteousness can take hold of your thinking pattern. Because it's out of your thoughts that your ways are sin. No man wakes up and go and sin. No way. I've watched it. I'm still a very young man in the flesh, but I've spent some decades here upon the face of the earth. Even personally, as my own person, I don't just wake up and do some actions. You take time to brood over it. Thoughts visit you. Something tells you the benefit of this action. What you will gain if you do it like this. What you will lose if you don't respond to what I'm telling you to do. So he said, James now broke it open a bit for us. He said, when lust is what? Is fully conceived. So meaning lust takes time to finish its conception. He said, well, every man is tempted when he's drawn of his own lust. So when lust had conceived, when he has finished his conception process. So if there are conception process, meaning there's fertilization process. So lust has the time where he will sow his seed for the seed to meet with an egg inside of you because you have your own lust. lust brings his own spermatozoa. You have your own lust, which is your own egg. So it mix. And there is full conception. So when the conception is completed, then it will bring forth sin. And when sin is finished, you can't stop death. God's servant, one of our daddies in the faith, Daddy Ken Igbinedion, said, Satan is one of the most, how did he put it now? One of the most faithful employers of labor. He doesn't hold salary. I've never seen Satan hold anybody a salary. He doesn't. Your wage is always complete. And he pays you accurately. He doesn't pay you half salary. He doesn't pay you, he doesn't tell you that, okay, well, we'll carry the salary to the next. He said the wages of sin is assured, is debt. The day you do it, just check your account balance. You have been credited with 16,000 calories of debt. It's instantaneous. It doesn't waste time. It doesn't. You see, when you look at the story of the children of Israel, their story is very beautiful because their story is our life. Israel, God chose Israel out of the nations of the earth. Why? Because God was not also disinterested in the nations of the earth. You know, at times when we look at the story of the children of Israel, we just feel that God hates the world. No, God is not a hater of men. He created all men. He said all souls are mine. God loves all men. God wants to save everybody. But he knows it's difficult to save everyone. The same way it's difficult for God to have saved you now. I say God hates you, but he has been trying to save you. He's not been able to save you. So at times God will raise one that he will fully save or raise as an example for salvation that others may be patterned after. So God, the essence of God choosing Israel, because of course we know that the person, as it were, that the Lord began to put the burden of starting a nation called Israel upon is a Chaldean. And that Chaldean is a present day Iraqi. He's from the Middle East. He's an Iraqi. Our father Abraham is an Iraqi. He's from Iraq. He's from Chaldea, all of Chaldees, Mesopotamia. So God led a man. He led a man. He chose the man out. And I love a word scripture said concerning Israel. He said, Israel is my firstborn. So if he said, Israel is my only born, I don't have another. It's only Israel I have, meaning all the other nations of the earth are doomed. So, but God said, in nations, Israel is my firstborn, meaning other nations are meant to be born. So, meaning Israel should have stood as an example or an ensign for the Lord in the nations of the earth to cause other nations to pattern themselves after Israel. But unfortunately, many a times, which is also our problem, which is part of the things I will talk about, you know, a bit today, and we still look at the things, which is not definitely different from what I said last week, you know, which is our problem. We are quick to leave the laws of our God. The major trouble that Israel kept facing was that Israel kept leaving the law of God. And each time they do, immediately they transgress the law. The enemies will attack. It does not. I've checked it. Look at scripture. Read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and the rest. Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know the book of Judges and Joshua. Read through it. You will see that one of the major trouble. Why did God raise judges? Why those judges? Those judges came to retract Israel back to the Lord they left. And prior to every judge, Israel fall into the hands of the enemy. Why? They left the Bible will say, and the children, thank you. Judges chapter 2 verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil. What is the evil? So you see now that what the Lord was saying concerning those men in Genesis chapter 6, when he said they did evil continually, that the imagination was only evil continually. It wasn't evil because they were killing children, you know, sacrificing, cutting the head of infants. Ah, we just give back to an infant, I will cut him, we sacrifice him to a god. No, that was not the evil. The evil is that they left the law of God. He said that the children of Israel did evil, Judges chapter 2 verse 11, in the sight of God, and they served Baalim. So meaning they left God to serve other gods. So it's an issue of service. God chose them to serve him. He told Pharaoh very clearly, let Israel go for one purpose, that they may serve me. So the reason why Israel is leaving Egypt is not because Israel wants to become one mighty force. They left for the end, where to a purpose. Leave it in this Judges chapter 13. I'd like to read it. You know, they left Egypt, why? Just to serve God. He said, let my people go. Why? That they may serve me. So meaning, the reason for Israel are a people of the law. So when you take the law away from Israel, the next thing they have is evil. So remove laws of God from a soul, you have exposed that soul to evil. The soul would do nothing but evil. Judges chapter 13 verse 1, you see, it's all over Judges. He said, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of God. And what happened? The Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. 40 years. No, it's not the, you know, when you read this, you almost think that, so meaning God delivered them. No, it's not that God delivered them. God removed his hand. Because the laws of God is what is keeping them. He said in Revelation chapter 3 or so, talking to the church in Philadelphia. He said, because you have kept the word. Give me that place very quickly. Yes. Revelation 3:10. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, what will happen? I will also keep thee. So meaning, what God is keeping really is his word. What God is keeping is his word. The reason why you see the Shekinah glory land upon the ark is not just because of the box. It's because of those two tables of stones. Those are the laws of God. Anywhere his law is, God is there. Why is God eager to write laws upon our hearts? Why is he eager? He's eager to write it because he wants to come and dwell in us. When the law is there, the law will bring him. The law always attracts him. The laws of our God. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. So when you hear the word, God deliver them to the Philistine. God did not go and call the Philistine. Yeah, come. Let me hand over Israel to you. No. They left the law of their God. They did evil in God's sight again, and God removed his hand. And because they are no longer keeping the laws of God, God can't keep them. And because God cannot keep them, the Philistines would keep them. And this time they were kept good. They were kept for 40 years in the hand of the Philistine. Give me verse 2. And there was a certain man named a man of Zorah and the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bear not. Now, because of what they did, God had to now, you see how loving God is. God is so loving. God didn't leave them alone. God now began to plan for another judge. What was the judge? He was planning for Samson. And that was how Samson was born. A man of God had to appear, an angel of the Lord appeared unto the mother of Samson, also appeared unto the father, and Samson was born. For what purpose? To bring them back, to return Israel back. So when we leave the laws of God, we would expose ourselves unduly. So brethren, what keeps us is the laws of our God. Any soul that is keeping the laws of his God will be kept by his God. So you see, if we also keep the laws of Satan, we'll be kept by Satan. And unfortunately, this one doesn't keep anybody. He's a destroyer by excellence. He said he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if you keep his things, destruction will come. If you keep his things, stealing will come. If you keep his things, killing will come. So if when you say that the first world has to be destroyed, you know, it was obvious that they were no longer, they could not do anything that was right again in God's sight. He said, and the whole earth was corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence. Everywhere was violence. You see, when a soul leaves God, what is left inside is violence. Because the person that is against God is violent within. He has filled his midst. His midst is filled with a lot of violence. So anyone, thank you, Ezekiel 28, he said, by the multitude of the mighty and that has filled their midst. Filled the midst of thee with violence and has sinned. So what Satan has inside of him is violence. So anybody that keeps his things, what he's keeping also is violence. So when that first world in the days of Noah began to keep the things that will make them evil continually, they kept a thing that made the whole earth come under a canopy of violence. And God just knew that we have to destroy this earth. Then God had to clear that earth, saved 8 souls, and began again. Now you see, one thing that Satan, I'm sure, must have been very, very angry with is that God knows how to do reset. If you left Satan alone, he would have destroyed this whole essence. But God knows how to do reset. And that's why Daddy was saying on Sunday, Satan hates prophets. Because prophets are major reset tool. They are major reset tool for the activity of Satan in the heart of men. Look at when Elijah the Tishbite came out. Israel was almost gone. The only nation that is God's firstborn, amidst all nations, that was even trying to serve God. A Jezebel entered into their midst, took away all the prophet of God, turned them to prophet of Baal. The rest had to go and be hiding in caves. He killed all of them. He was killing prophets. Why? Because Satan knows that, Kai, these guys are a link to heaven. And as long as heaven still has a footprint on earth, his agenda cannot prosper as he wants to prosper. So what he wants is a thick darkness over the whole earth. A darkness where light cannot break through. But you see, we should be very grateful in our times and in our season, in our age, that light is not only visiting the earth, light is becoming a banner upon the face of the earth. He said he will raise up the banners of righteousness. So light is becoming those days of war, when you conquer a particular locality, you raise a banner. You just see a flag. Another word for that banner is flag. You just see a banner that is raised. So meaning light is colonizing different areas, different localities. It's not just colonizing locality alone, it's colonizing persons. Why? Because the laws of God are being communicated to hearts. People are now living by the law. People are responding to the law of God. And dearly beloved, I'd like to say this, for everyone listening in. I want to beg us. You are responsible for the amount of darkness around you. The more we respond to the Lord. For example, the example I gave earlier concerning Joshua and Caleb. 12 people were sent to a land to go spy the land. 10 came back with an evil report. 2 came back with a good report. Now, why didn't the 2 cave in? You know, we say here in our natural parlance, majority does what? Carries the vote, right? So why didn't the 2 cave in under the weight of majority? So the fact that you are caving into a law of unrighteousness now is not because the law is overwhelming. It's because you choose to. Imagine 10 people saying the same thing and only 2 of you. Only 2. Even you just feel like, make them not say that, at times we yield to some things because we feel that we are being overpowered. No. We are in a world where we need to stand for righteousness. I'm not saying go confront anybody. I'm not saying, because when you stand for righteousness first, it's within. You have to stand for the Lord within. People should not be able to convince you against what you believe. Paul used the word, he said, now I know him whom I believed. Now, have you gotten to the point where you can say of a truth, you know him whom you have believed? How do you know him whom you have believed? It's because you have paid attention to that which him whom you have believed has been communicating. So many a times, a lot of us, we don't pay good attention to the things that are being communicated by him whom we believe. Now, I was saying earlier, before we went all this route, I'm sure we've been blessed some. I was saying earlier that when you say Paul was had the mind of Christ, or Paul honed Christ to a degree, you know, and I began saying that, let's see a bit of how we could say that, this man, Paul, the apostle, that great servant of God, you know, how he, was able to hone Christ. Give me Romans, chapter one. So we now see the importance of the law of the Lord, that the law of the Lord will keep is what will keep us. Now, if I keep disobeying the law, what I'm saying in a nutshell, you know, a thought came to my, just popped up in my spirit while preparing for the meeting. And the thought was this, there is no, you know, we say, think outside the box. Actually, in this side of the divide where we are, there is no outside the box. You are always in a box. Either you are in the box of the law of the spirit of life, or you are in the box of law of sin and death. There is no outside. If Satan tells you you are thinking outside the box, he's actually in his own box, but he just made it wider so that he can have room, and it makes you look you are outside the box, but you are still in his box. So there is no free lunch in Freetown. Nothing is free. It's either you are keeping the laws of the spirit of life that is in a man or a person called our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a law in him. In Ephesians 4:20 said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have been taught by him and you have heard him as the truth is in. So it's a law in. Is already tattooed in Jesus. There's something in Jesus that if I am holding it, it will also be said of me that I am Christ. In Timothy, Paul was saying to his son Timothy, he said, nevertheless, the Lord, give me that place in Timothy. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knoweth them. How did he know them that are his? He said, and everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. There is a seal. There is a cap. In the days of old, when you say, a seal is like, a signet of a king. You see, when they write a letter, they will tell the king, put a seal. Or if it's the prime minister, he puts a seal. You see that seal, it might be the seal of Julius Caesar. He puts the seal upon. So when you see that letter, you know. The letter carries as high authority as the person of the emperor. So when you see the letter, you see the seal, everybody's afraid. This is Caesar's seal. Everybody's afraid. He's as good as Caesar is there. So when you say having the seal, meaning he's as good as the Lord is there. So the seal of the Lord is the person of the Lord. So every soul that has the seal of the Lord, the Lord knoweth them. Another word for the seal of the Lord is the will of the Lord or the things of the Lord. Jesus said to them, he said, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into kingdom, but they that doeth the will of my Father. He said, in that day I will say to them, I do not know you. Why didn't I know you? I don't know you because you didn't do my will. You didn't take my things. My things were not in you. So I can't see my seal upon you. Because if you do my things, if I was the one that wrote the letter within, you know, when you write a letter, you've written the letter within, you've written something, you scribble something upon. Now, Caesar wrote the letter. You know, Caesar and is writing to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He wrote the letter. When it's done, he seals it and they send it. Now, he can only put a seal on what he has written. He can't put a seal on what is not his word. It's not. He can't put a seal. So the Lord puts a seal on what he has done. So when the Lord has done a work inside of a man, the Lord puts a seal. So the seal of the Lord that soul carries, it will make the Lord identify. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God, because Christ is the foundation. Christ is the foundation of God. So the foundation standeth sure. What is that foundation? The Lord, the small letter Lord, not the capital Lord, which is Christ. The Lord knoweth them that are his. In Romans chapter 8, he said, I have not the spirit of Christ. Is none of his. Romans chapter 8. Now, if you don't have the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Christ is actually another word for the spirit of Christ. God's about that daddy, Rebecca Adegoke has taught us before, that Adeguchukwu has also taught us, that the spirit of Christ, another word for it, is the law of Christ. Daddy read Romans 8 like this one of the days. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the law. For the law of the law of life. So the word Spirit there is law. It's not just Spirit as in Holy Ghost. It's not Spirit as in the person of the Holy Ghost. It's Spirit as law. So the law of the law of life that is in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death, because that one is also a law. So when Paul was saying to Timothy that having this, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and everyone that nameth the name of the Lord. So if you are named by the name of the Lord, if the name of the Lord has surnamed you, what it will make you do is you will depart. You won't journey along again the path of iniquity. So Christ does not go to iniquity. Christ goes to God. Christ is journey. His journey to God. He doesn't journey towards iniquity. Romans chapter 1 from verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, not unto iniquity. So everyone that nameth the name. If you are naming the name of Christ, you don't go towards iniquity. You go towards God. So Christ as a name is power to God or power to salvation. So it's not to iniquity. So if the seal of the Lord is actually done in a man, that man will not go towards iniquity. He will depart. His journey will not be a journey towards iniquity. It will be a journey to God. Can we say amen? So going further, so I said that Christ as a law, which is the law of the Spirit of life, and is something in Christ, is the box of Christ. So when you say, what is Christ? Christ is a box called the law of the Spirit of life, or the law of life and peace, or the law of faith, hope, and charity. So what is Christ? What is Christ? Christ is a box. Christ is a law. Inside of that law, it's not haphazard. I don't just wake up and do a Christ that I wish. No, there is already a Christ set. There's a Christ set. So I don't wake up and do my own kind of Christ. I do according to what is already written, what has been set. So Christ is already is a prepared meal, is a prepared box that you can only think within. You can only stay within that box. You don't wake up to do your own kind of Christ. We don't have different kind of Christ. Christ is one. He said, Jesus Christ, a man approved of God. So when God looked at the curriculum called Christ and saw it, they said, this is complete enough for the Christ level of meal for the church. And he approved it. You know, I just see God as every of the doctrine has to pass through him, because they are all in him. They are all of him. It's called the Christ of God. Huh? So the God approved him. Say, this one is, we've checked. This is complete. He said, for we are complete in him. We are complete in him. In him. So there is a completion in the gospel of Christ. Likewise, also, every of the doctrines in God is complete. It's complete. So it's a box. It's a box. So you can't, when you say, I'm thinking outside the box. I'm thinking outside the box. Even Satan has a box. Sin and death is a box. It's a box. But it's not that in the box of sin and death, it makes it, you know, I remember many years ago, I'm sure some of us will remember those days of all the CDMA telecoms, Starcom, which other one? Forgotten their names. A lot of them, they've gone different names, all the CDMA. So they will tell you that they put you on, this one is dedicated. Now, you know what they do in that? When I went to one of the offices was and I heard it, I just laughed. So when they say dedicated, it's just like this big pool. They now put you in a smaller pool, in that big pool. You understand? So it looks like you are enjoying it alone, but you are still in the big pool. You are not getting a special link, as it were. You see the same thing. So Satan, you know, your scripture says broad is the way. It's broad, but it's still a way. It's very broad, but it's a way. So it looks as it were, Satan is giving you opportunity to express. And the guy sits down in his home and says, I'm a free thinker. I think outside the box. I don't believe in the norm. I remember meeting a guy one time. People are buying a particular kind of car. You know, for example, here in Nigeria, you know, except you want to deceive yourself, one of the most very easy car for mechanics to handle in Nigeria is Toyota. It's Toyota. The other one that is easy for them is also Honda. So by the time I go and buy a car that they can't understand, they will convert it to Toyota for me and destroy the car. They don't know what I eat. You understand? So you just deceive yourself to think that, no. That's what they know. So you see, at times, Satan knows. You know, you sit down in your house and you think, so I was saying that to say that I met a guy one time. He said he's a leftist. What makes him a leftist? If everybody's buying Toyota, he won't buy Toyota. Many years ago, he's a lecturer. Yeah, I don't know whether I sit there now. He's a lecturer at Unilag. Many years ago, that's maybe like 2014 or so, or 2015. He said he's a leftist. If everybody's buying, he's then it was Sienna. He said, if everybody buys Sienna, I won't buy Sienna. I'm going to buy something else. But you buy what will give you trouble. So in his mind, he's a free thinker. In his mind, he's thinking outside the box. But you see, that box that you call free thinking is actually the box of Satan. Satan has a box for every man that doesn't want to follow God. You want to be special, he has a box for you. You want to be one amongst equal, he has a box for you. You just want to carve a niche for yourself, he has a box for you. But you see that your box is still in the big box of Satan. So you're actually not free from him. It's called the law of sin and death. It's a law. Inside of it, he has different expressions that he allows you to express. And when you're expressing, you know a man sit there and say, I'm a free thinker. What are you free thinking? You are free thinking death. And death will make you believe that of a truth you are thinking free. Yeah. But no matter how much you think free, you can't think yourself free from the law of sin and death. Because there's only one thing set, only one thing that the Lord God has approved for a man to be free from the law of sin and death is called the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul made it very clear. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith, he mentioned the name, wherewith Christ has made you free. So meaning there is no freedom without Christ. I can't be free from free thinking without Christ. I can't be free from being a leftist without Christ. I can't be free from whatsoever you think you can imagine. You don't say, I'm a feminist. I'm a this. No. The way they are treating women in this world, I don't know. I'm going to fight for the cause of the woman gender. Hey, Bella, we clap for you. You are just entered into another box of sin and death. Yes. So you see, the box is a very big box. Satan made room. He made room for everybody. He gave people room. You can express yourself as you want. I'm an influencer. Hey, we are the one running now. We are the influence everybody. As you are influencing in debt. It's also a box. The only thing. I love that scripture. He said there's no other name given under heaven. Whereby. No other name given under heaven. Whereby we can be saved. So God designed freedom. Packaged freedom, boxed freedom in a box called Christ. So if I want to be free, I have to come into that box. If I want freedom, I don't know, I love the word Paul said, Apostle Paul, that he thought about it one time in Corinthians. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? What made Paul free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? So his freedom is tied not to himself, not because he knew the law of Moses, not because he knew the Torah, not because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, not because as touching the law he was blameless. What made him free? Because all of those things that I just said now, Paul said, I count them but dung, because those things can make a man lock. He said, yea, doubtless, Philippians chapter 3, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung, that I may win freedom. Winning Christ is winning freedom. Yeah.
So meaning man cannot be free. So when Paul was telling Timothy that be a good minister, bring people into remembrance, what are you remembering them? Supply of your own resource. What are the resources in Timothy? The resources in Timothy are the resources of Christ. So Timothy came into a place of having the same mind that Paul had. He was like-minded as Paul. The mind that Timothy carried was the mind that Christ carried, that Paul carried, that Christ carried. Because Paul did not just get it in one day. Paul got it by carefully following Christ. Give me Romans chapter 1. I've been wanting to go to that Romans chapter 1, and I'm jumping away from there. Romans chapter 1. Now, Paul began his journey, verse 1. He began his journey by saying that, he said, Paul is servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So this gospel, Paul never called it his gospel. He just called himself a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Give me Romans 2:16. Romans 2:16. So we now begin to see a change in what Paul said earlier. A change in, he called it, I'm just a servant of Christ. Eh? I'm serving Christ. What was he serving Christ for? He was waiting on Christ to get Christ. He was waiting on Christ for Christ to now become his life. And that's why you see in Galatians, before we read this 2:16, Galatians 2:20, we all know that scripture very well. He said, I've been crucified together with Christ, or I am crucified with Christ. So meaning Christ was the tool that they used to end my life. The life that I've been living before, I have a life, I have a free thinking life, I have a law, I have a life called Pharisee or Pharisee. I have a life prior to now. It's called Pharisee or Pharisee. It's called a life as touching the law, blameless. It's called a life concerning zeal, persecuting the church. It's a life. So all those things were a life that Paul had before. He said, but I brought all those lives. I brought them to the cross. And when I submitted that life before the cross, thank you, Galatians 6:14. He said, but God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is where my glory is. By whom? It's by Christ. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So I cannot end world activity. I cannot end sin and death in me, until I'm exposed to cross. So Paul said to the church in Corinth, when I come, I don't want to know anything other than Christ and him. Don't end it as just Christ, but we have to add and him crucified. So the cross of the Christ is what crosses me from law of the of sin and death into the law of the spirit of life, which is freedom. So there is no cross. I can't cross the bridge. I can't move from death to life. Huh? I can't cross from the zones of sin and death into the zones of life and peace without the cross. So the cross has to be administered. And how do they administer the cross? I might not be able to go fully into it. They administer the cross by leading. Holy Ghost will lead you against natures. Holy Ghost will take you through exercises. Daddy talked last week about exercises. There are a lot of exercises a believer should do. So let's go on. I'm still going to come back there. Romans 2:16. I'm still going to come back there. Just round up on that note. I'm sure we've been blessed by God's grace. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secret of men, by who? By Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So meaning at this point, Paul was already holding this gospel. You know, he said concerning Timothy, I have none who is such like-minded. He is like-minded like me. But what is my mind? Because my mind is not my mind again. My mind is the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, the last verse, he said, we have, who had known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. So the Lord wants to instruct us. But we, it's not all of us. Paul was talking about a we. He didn't say you have. You know, at times it's good for us to be very sincere. Read scripture with sincerity. Huh? There are some things that is generic to all of us. My life is hid with Christ in God. It's generic. That's your spirit man. But this one, Paul is saying, we have it. He didn't say you have it. If you have it, he would have said you have it. But he said this one, we have the mind of Christ. That's what we carry. Then he now went to verse chapter 3. He said, but I, brethren, I could not speak unto you. So you see, where Paul was speaking from the ground of being spiritual. being spiritual. He said, now you, to you now, I can't speak unto you as unto the mind of Christ. Because you don't have it. You are carnal. You are babes in Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. So, because you know, when you read the Bible is not in chapters. It's one singular thought. The Bible is just a flow of thoughts. Eh? For easy register in the mind. That's why we can say, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you quote the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you quote the verse. It's for the mind to be able to capture it well. Eh? Because imagine now that they gave us the New Testament. They just give you Matthew. You just see Matthew. And they say, you're brrr. I say, okay, what's it, Daru? This is too much. Eh? But they put it in Matthew chapter 6. So you can reference, for reference sake, you can reference it. Even when you read books are in chapters. It's for reference. Eh? So, but here, what Paul was saying, Paul just said a statement in the last verse of chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ, but you don't have it. What you have, you are still carnal. You are not yet spiritual. So, meaning the mind of Christ is the mind of a spiritual man. Christ is a spiritual man. So, that's what Paul had. So, Paul was saying here, Romans chapter 2:16 that I read, he said, my gospel. Give me Romans 16:25. Just want to make reference to some points where Paul honed Christ. Paul had become Christ. He said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. So it's not just the gospel of Christ. It's my gospel. What is the gospel of Christ? The gospel of Paul is the gospel of Christ. So Paul is saying here that, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So his gospel is preaching Christ. According to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. So what is Paul's gospel? Christ. Give me again 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think verse 8 or so, quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. How? According to my gospel. So you see, Paul was not just preaching Christ again. Paul had become Christ. Paul had owned Christ. So when he's speaking, he will say, according to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. No, according to my gospel. Because why? He fulfilled clearly Galatians 2:20. I am crucified. Paul had died. So anything I'm speaking from the fount of Christ. So that was what Paul was admonishing his son Timothy. Timothy, at this point, you have come into that season of also honing Christ. So put the brethren in remembrance. Be a good minister. Be a good minister. A good minister of who? Jesus Christ. A good minister of Jesus Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I love Apostle Peter's testimony of our dear beloved Apostle Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3. But give me Ephesians chapter 3 first. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 4. Ephesians 3 from verse 4. Quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 3 from verse 4. He said, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed by unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit of God. Continue. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Next verse. Whereof I am made what? A minister. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So he was made a minister. So you see what he's telling his son Timothy also. Be a good minister. The word good minister there. Minister is not, you know, a lot of things because of the way what we met. You know, some things have become. So you hear the word minister, say, I'm a minister of God. No, you don't talk to me like that. I'm a minister of the gospel. Ah, do you know where a minister is? I read it up, you know, just looking at the Greek meaning of the word minister. We can all look at it from here.
the Greek meaning of the word minister.
He said, one who executes the command of another. So he says, what is a minister? You are executing the command of another. You are actually in another world. You are a servant, a slave. Especially of a master. So you are executing the command of a master. So really, every one of us are ministers. Wherever you find yourself, you are a minister. How? What are you meant to minister? Minister Christ. Execute the command of Christ. Obey the commandment of live by Christ.
What do you call a minister? Eh? He said, a waiter. One who waits. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you have somebody they call a waiter. That waiter really doesn't have his life. Imagine you get to a restaurant and I say, ah, waiter. He said, no, you don't talk to me like that. I am a waiter. I say, well, waiter, yeah. We know. You are designed to go and wait on me.
So what life are we waiting on? We are waiting on the life that is from above. He said, our conversation, where is it from? It's from above. For our conversation is from above, which is heaven. From whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our conversation is in heaven. So who are we waiting on? We are waiting on heaven. We are waiting on every instruction that flows from heaven for to live. It's when a man lives by his own wit, his own understanding. In Proverbs chapter 3, is it 3, 5 or so?
He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So, meaning every one of us, we have that place we can lean on.
And each time we take a step of Christ and we lean on another and on another, what we are leaning on is actually death. Any counsel out of life is death. Because the only counsel life will give is life.
So we are designed to live by the laws of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. So finally, let me just round up my thought from here, where Daddy, talked about a bit last week. Give me verse 7. Have we been blessed today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Paul said to Timothy, his son, he said, but refuse profane and fictional stories of old women. I wonder why he used the word old wife fables. Yeah? I'm trying to figure why Paul used the word old wife fables. Old wife fables. But exercise thyself rather unto what? Unto godliness. So, and I begin to see that somewhere, because when Paul used the word old wife fables, wives are women, women is what have ability to lure. Eh? He has ability to lure you. He has ability to pull you. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Job 2. Give me Job 2, verse 9 and 10. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Quickly, we are almost done. Job 2, verse 9 and 10. He said, and said his wife, give me from verse 7. Sorry. He said, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. This is a very strange thing. And he took him potsherd. That's, a clay pot. You break it. And he was scraping himself, withal. He was scraping himself. And he sat down among ashes. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Then Job answered. So meaning, these old wife fables, otikpe, so forgive me for using that vernacular, it's been long. Then speakest as one of the foolish women. The way the foolish women speak it. So you see, when you use the word women, yes, we can use women as literal women. But you see, women is what has ability to
to pull, because this world is a woman. Babylon is a woman. Huh? Is a woman that has taken the blood of many, 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 many saints. So it's a woman. What is a woman? It's who has ability to woo you. It can pull you. So there is that which is called old women fables. What is it meant to do? Is to pull you away from the exercise of godliness. So Paul told Timothy, he said, refuse it. But rather, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Why? For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So godliness is an exercise. Say with me, godliness. Say godliness is an exercise. So another word for godliness is actually the Christ life, because Christ is a godly man. So we can say faith is an exercise. Hope is an exercise. But the greatest of all exercise in the curriculum called Christ is charity. So charity is an exercise. It's a very, very, very strong exercise. Because you know why? Exercise is needed and necessary for us to attain unto more life. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and I'll round up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 9, he that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Give me, go down. Okay. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Why? For every man that striveth for mastery is temperate, where? In all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. So if somebody that is striving for a corruptible crown is temperate, much more you that are striving for an incorruptible crown must also likewise be temperate in all things. So Paul was telling Timothy, his son, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is an exercise. Daddy said last week, cutting him, rounding up. He said that a muscle you don't exercise become flappy. Eh? I'm sure we've all experienced before. You just mistakenly sleep on your hand for too long. By the time you wake up, that hand is not going to move. In fact, you'll be wondering, hey, the first time it happened to me, I said, hey, what happened? Hey. I didn't know that blood has ceased. So, meaning, if you stay too long, not using your charity muscles, if you stay too long, not using your faith muscles, you can't exercise yourself in trusting God for anything again. Any small thing, I will sort this out. Any small thing, I will do this. Your trust is no longer in God. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Your faith has to be, we began for faith towards the Lord Jesus. We should not leave it. Rather, we should increase in it. You can't exercise yourself in hoping for the invisible. That he was saying on Sunday, he said concerning Moses, he said, Moses has seen the invisible. That's an exercise. It's an exercise to keep your gaze on the invisible. Something you are not seeing. He said, this all died. Hebrews chapter 11. This all died in hope, not having obtained the promise. They didn't obtain the promise. He said, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They all continue. There's a place he said they all died, not having obtained the promise. But said, but God provided some better for us, that they without us made perfect. If you can find that, let me have it. How would they? He said some of them refused to receive their dead back to life. Thank you. He said, these all died in faith. Man, that is an exercise. This is an exercise. How can somebody die in faith? That's an exercise. So brethren, we've come into a very beautiful and good season where we need to exercise ourselves. That brother is a trouble. Everybody knows. But men, exercise your charity muscle. Jesus loved Judas unto the end. You can't love Judas. You can't love somebody that blasts you, that doesn't regard you, that only respects you. The world will tell you, go to where you are celebrated and where you are tolerated. You can't love such a person. But the muscle of Jesus is so developed. You see, when you look at Jesus in the spirit, Jesus is a mighty bodybuilder in the spirit. His muscles are developed. Jesus can carry any weight. Put the weight of Judas on Jesus, he will carry him. He'll be using it to gym. He's unmoved. He can love him until the end. How will you love somebody you know will betray you? That's power. That's an exercised muscle. Brethren, godliness is an exercise. Godliness is an exercise. And you need to exercise your muscle. Don't keep quitting easily.
Just pack him aside. They just want to submit to me to authority. No, it's for your own good.
Exercise. You see, those who strive for corruptible crown, they constrain. He said that he said godliness with contentment. Contentment is a constraint. He said they constrain themselves to many things. They wake up at a certain time because of the exercise they need to do. They don't eat some things because of what they want to achieve. You see the way they train, a lot of them go through rigor because of a corruptible crown. So are we saying that an incorruptible crown will come with no rigor, no pain? Why do Jesus always steal himself away to go and pray? He will just steal himself away. Everybody will be looking for him. He has escaped. He's gone to pray. Why do Jesus need prayer? Son of God, you don't have a prayer, she. He should be praying now. He should just be relaxing and chopping chicken. I'm a son of God.
He
knew he needed to exercise his muscle. He needed to keep exercising by hearing the Father. He has to wait on the Father. Those are the kind of exercise that David had to put himself through. He had to wait. Even though the Lord has told him to do something like this in this time, he will wait again and ask the Lord, shall I go? Shall I overcome? Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? God said, wait. You went the other time, but this one, wait. When you hear the sound of going upon the mulberry tree, then move. So David kept inquiring of the Lord. One of the things that kept David, even though you will say he sinned, he did something, David is an inquirer. He exercised his muscle in waiting for God. The same way Joseph exercised his muscle in waiting for God. He said, all the days of my appointed time, will I wait until my change come? So how much are we willing to exercise? To exercise. Wake up in the morning and be exercising your muscle. Say, Kai, today I go walk in love. Hey. I cannot go shout. I don't go vibe. I don't go answer. Hey. I go exercise my muscle today. Even if he carries my change away, I won't be angry. It's an exercise. You keep exercising your muscle until you are built to carry all things. Because God is with you. God is called weight of glory. Then see, we never do exercise. You know if he carry weight too. So if we need to carry God, we need to exercise our Christ muscle well. Can we just give thanks to the Lord this afternoon? And I appreciate Jesus for help today, the place of the word. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give praise to you. Thank you for your help. Thank you for mercy that came to us today. Thank you for how you communicated your truth to us. Bless your name, our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in today. See you again next week on Epistle Live. Lord bless you.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.